If you work for a large company in Australia, chances are you've heard of some policies and initiatives that concentrate on diversity and inclusion in the workforce. So addressing gender equality, for example, or supporting people from different multicultural backgrounds or people with disabilities. But is it actually working? The management consulting firm Boston Consulting Group has surveyed more than 16,000 employees around the world, including in Australia. And it's found that while about a third of the Australian staff surveyed had experienced workplace discrimination, very few felt they'd benefited from their company's diversity and inclusion initiatives. Anna Green is the group's senior partner and managing director in Sydney. She's also the co-author of the report titled When Good Intentions Aren't Enough. We spoke earlier.
So what we found is, on one hand, very good. Most companies are investing in diversity and inclusion initiatives, almost 100% of companies, in fact. But unfortunately, the impact is much less. So in Australia, less than 20% of employees of diverse groups say that they benefit from the D&I programs that have been put in place.
What do you mean when you talk about diversity and inclusion initiatives? Can you give me an example of what a company might be doing?
Firstly, diversity is broader than just gender. We used to mainly speak about gender, but yeah. I think we've matured a lot to recognise it's around ethnicity, it's around sexual orientation, diversity of backgrounds, etc. What companies are doing is trying to understand what are the obstacles that their diverse employees face and what do they specifically need to address to help those employees through the employee lifecycle, so from recruitment all the way through to advancement.
Of course, we're not just talking about company boards and senior management here, are we, but also middle management. How difficult is it to make an impact and change attitudes that might be ingrained in the middle management of companies when it comes to hiring staff that reflect our society?
Yeah, so there's no question it's really hard. And at the top end, if you've got a C-suite of six or eight people, you can make some targeted hires that help you appear as if you have a diverse leadership. But absolutely, the reality is the challenge is in the middle, where the bulk of most employees are in large organisations. But to your point, the big challenge is often less about recruitment, much more around advancing and retaining people in organisations and making people feel that they're in an inclusive workplace that they want to be part of.
So what's going wrong? Why do you think we're falling behind?
What's really interesting is that from some of the data, what we can see is that most people don't fully appreciate the obstacles that diverse groups feel. And in some ways, that's very intuitive. It's almost impossible to understand what other people experience unless you've experienced it yourself. But where we see that translate is that diversity and inclusion initiatives aren't being designed with the end users enough in mind. So what's happening is companies are coming out with one-size-fits-all D&I initiatives, but in fact, their diverse employees in the context of that particular organisation don't feel that these are the initiatives that they really need to help them.
So what needs to happen in your view? Is there this golden solution that companies should be putting in place, or is it that simple?
So there's zero magic bullets, but if I boil it down to two things, one is around the design of what people do for D&I and the other part is around execution. In terms of design, what we came to understand is that you pretty much need to adopt what you see happening in companies all the time, human-centered design or customer-centric design, to your D&I efforts. So putting your employees at the heart of determining what it is that you need to do at the moment and getting them, in fact, to develop and identify what are the initiatives that you need to prioritise and spend money and time on and how can you help them in the context of your organisation.
One of the issues that comes up a lot when we talk about inclusiveness is whether or not there should be quotas, right? So are we getting to the point where the only way we can achieve tangible diversity in the workforce is through the use of quotas? Do you have a view on that?
Yeah, I think it's a really challenging question, and my personal view has changed over the time. I think if you look at diversity more broadly, it can be very difficult to have quotas because there's some elements of personal information we can't ask, and it wouldn't be appropriate to ask of our employees. When it comes to gender, I'm certainly of a strong view that we need active targets and targets that have teeth. If that translates in some people's minds to quotas, then I'm personally okay with that.
So when we talk about firm targets, do you have an idea of what those targets should be?
So for me, targets need to reflect a starting point of an organisation. So for me, there's no sort of blanket rule. But yeah, I went to a really interesting talk last week where Satya Nadella said, if we want to serve the world, we've got to look like the planet. And I think the same should hold for most organisations. If we want to serve customers, we've got to represent society and whatever mix our society is that we live and work in.
Anna Green from the Boston Consulting Group.